We are centering our study on the New Testament church. This morning, we want to talk about the church being at one in matters of opinion. So that's going to take us to the 14th chapter of the book of Romans. So let's turn to Romans chapter 14. From the beginning, one of the most difficult things to do has been to get the church to work and to act as one. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul deals with a number of problems. The very first problem he deals with was their problem of division, a lack of unity among those brethren. The church at Corinth had divided among its preachers. And some of those Christians there were saying, well, we're going to follow Paul. And others were saying, well, we're going to follow Apollos. And others were saying, well, we'll follow Peter. And another group who seemed to not know what to do said, well, we're just going to follow Jesus. The problem in Corinth is that the church was not acting as one. Over in the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15, Paul says, if you don't stop biting and devouring each other, you're going to end up consuming each other. Those brethren were snipping and pecking at each other, and the problem there was they weren't acting as one. Even in the great church at Philippi, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2, there were two sisters in the church that were at odds with each other. Their being at odds began to affect the entire church. Now, there's some things you need to read in there. Paul doesn't tell us what they were at odds about. Brethren, listen to me. It doesn't matter what folks in the church are at odds about, but if they stay divided, eventually it's going to affect the whole church. And so the problem is that the church wasn't acting as one. There wasn't a unity. There wasn't a singleness. There wasn't this oneness among the brethren. In the book of Psalm, division 133 and in verse 1, David said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Brethren, listen to me. There is a great work that can be done. There is a great impact that can be had if the Lord's church is willing to be at one with each other. Now, let's start to unfold some of this. Anytime a group of people come together, there is always going to be the possibility of division. But any time that a group of people come together, there is absolute certainty that there's going to be differences of opinion among that group. Now, brethren, listen to me. Because that's true, Because in any group that possibility of division hangs, and because the certainty of different opinions is there, because that is true, it is absolutely vital that every single solitary one of us in this church realizes the importance of unity, and that all of us individually and collectively together, that we all understand we can never be what we ought to be in the eyes of God unless we are one. That takes us to the book of Romans, chapter 14. Look at verse 1. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. Listen to the rest of it. But not to quarrel over opinions. Not to quarrel over opinions. Now, in verse 1, the Apostle Paul sets the theme for this entire chapter. Now, let me approach it like this. There are many things in the Bible that are wrong, and the Bible condemns these things. And so the Bible says, thou shalt not, and condemns whatever it is. And so there are a lot of things that the Bible says, don't do this, and it condemns it. But then, over here on the other side, there are a lot of things that the Bible commands us. Do this. Do this. Here's how you ought to live. Here's what you should do. So in the Bible, we have the things that the Bible condemns, and in the Bible, we have a lot of things that the Bible commands. Are we together? But between this group of things that we shouldn't do, and between this group of things that we should do, between the thou shalt nots and the thou shalls, we have got all this area in the middle. All of this area in the middle is called matters of opinion. Now, hear this carefully. Romans, the 14th chapter, is dealing with all of these matters in the middle. Romans 14 is not talking about don't do what the Bible says not to do. Romans 14 is not talking about you do this because the Bible is clear, you ought to do it. This is a chapter that is dedicated to all of this gray matter in the middle where God allows us to have opinions about it. Yes? You understand what I said? Now, here's why this chapter is so important. Here's why Romans 14 is so important. Because in the church, the vast, vast majority of the time when there is trouble, the vast majority of the time when there is division, and when people get their backs up, It isn't about matters of faith, it's about matters of opinion. Listen, we don't divide over disagreeing with the virgin birth. We don't divide over whether or not Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's not what splinters the Lord's people apart. Brethren, what we divide over is our pride, our personality, and over our opinions if you disagree with mine. Now, let me explain the difference between matters of faith and matters of opinion. A matter of faith is that on the Lord's day, the first day of the week, we partake of the Lord's Supper. Acts 20 and verse 7. That is a matter of faith. When we come together on the first day of the week, we partake of the Lord's Supper. That's a matter of faith. Now, the matter of opinion is okay. When are we going to take the Lord's Supper on Lord's Day? Are we going to take it before the sermon? Or are we going to take it after the sermon? Are we going to take it right after the announcements or right after the first song? That is a matter of opinion. The matter of faith is that we take it on the first day of the week because that is commanded. Let me illustrate the difference between matters of faith and matters of opinion. On the first day of the week, on the Lord's day, we are commanded to come together to meet and to worship God in spirit and in truth. That is a command. That is a matter of faith. We worship God in spirit and truth on the Lord's day. The matter of opinion is, well, what time are we going to do this? Are we going to come together at 9 a.m. and do it? Are we going to come together at 11 a.m. and do it? Are we going to come together at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and do it? That's a matter of faith. That's a matter of opinion. The matter of faith is that it has to be done on the Lord's day. Now, brethren, listen to me. Romans 14 isn't dealing with matters of faith. It's dealing with matters of opinion. Now, hear this carefully. If the church is ever going to be at one, it's going to be because we understand and we put into practice the principles that Paul lays down in Romans 14 on how we ought to act and how we ought to treat each other when it comes to matters of opinion, to where the Bible hasn't clearly spoken not to do it, or the Bible hasn't clearly spoken on to do it. But in this matter of opinion, it is important that we follow these principles and treat each other the right way, even when we differ in matters of opinion. Just because you disagree with my opinion about something doesn't mean you've disobeyed God. You're welcome. But brethren get that way. They want to equate their opinion to the scripture. Listen, it's your opinion. Now, let's go to Romans 14. The Apostle Paul divides this chapter into two parts. So that's what we're going to do. I have no illusions of coming up with a better outline to this than he did. He divides it into two parts. First, verses 1 through 12, and then verses 13 through 23. So that's how we're going to look at it. So, number one, there'll be two main thoughts here. Number one, in verses 1 through 12, the Apostle Paul gives us reasons why we ought to accept each other even when we differ in matters of opinion. The Apostle Paul is gonna tell us why we need to accept each other even when we may be dealing with a brother whose faith is not at the level that our faith may be. Now let's look what he says. First of all, verse 3. Let not the one who eats, I'm going to explain the eating down the road a bit. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. Now here it is. For God has welcomed him. Now, here's what he's saying. When an individual obeys the gospel, he hears the gospel, believes, repents, he confesses, and then he is baptized. When a person obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, God accepts that person. Now, if you turn around and reject him, because his opinion about something is different than yours, or you reject him because his faith is not at the level yours are, you need to understand what you are doing is you are rejecting somebody whom God has accepted, and you don't ever want to stand on that side of it. Here's the ultimate example. Acts chapter 10 and 11. The apostle Peter is sent to the household of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile. And Peter's like, okay, what now? You are going to take your Jewish self from the top of your Jewish head to the bottom of your Jewish feet, and you are going to the house of Cornelius. A Jew never, ever entered the house of a Gentile, ever. God almost has to reconvert Peter to get him there. And so Peter goes, bless his heart, and he takes six Jewish brothers with him. Listen, if I'm going into this hornet's nest, I'm taking witnesses with me. So Peter, we go through all this business, and finally Peter enters into the house of this Gentile, Cornelius, and Cornelius has invited every Gentile he knows to come be in that house with him. But it's there that Peter says, now I understand. God is no respecter of person. And that anybody who fears God and does right from any nation, God will accept that person. And then Peter presents the gospel to Cornelius and a house full of his friends and relatives who are Gentiles. And at the end of Acts 10 and verse 48, Peter commands them to be baptized. So now here is Cornelius and a house full of Gentiles who are now New Testament Christians, and God has accepted them. Oh, this ain't near over. Peter's got to go home now and explain this. So Peter gathers up those six witnesses, and they go up to Jerusalem. Well, that's Jew country. And now Peter's got to explain to the Jewish brethren what has happened in the city of Caesarea at the house of Cornelius. Now listen carefully to what he says. When Peter explains that to those Jewish brethren in Acts chapter 11, in verse 17 of Acts 11, Peter tells them, listen, God did with them what God did with us at the beginning. And Peter then says, who was I to stand in God's way? Now, here's what you better get out of that. When God accepts somebody who has obeyed the gospel of Christ, and because of a matter of opinion or a level of faith, you're not going to accept that person. You need to understand you're not only standing against that person, you are standing in the way of God. You don't ever want to stand there. When a person obeys the gospel, God accepts him. And we better do the same. Now, look at verse 1 again. Look at verse 1. As for the one who is weak in faith. Now look at me. Let's talk about that word weak. The word weak there is an observation about somebody's spiritual level of faith. It's weak. Now, wait a minute. They're a Christian. Amen. They're a Christian. They have faith. But their faith hasn't yet developed to the level that maybe yours or other Christians' faith has developed. Look what we're supposed to do with them. Verse 1. As for the one who is weak in the faith, listen, welcome him. Welcome him. The word welcome there means to take to oneself. Take that person to yourself. The idea of the word that Paul actually used is the idea of with open arms and open hearts, we welcome and receive this brother. Though he may not agree with me in a matter of opinion, and though his faith may not be where my faith is or even where I think his ought to be, I have to open my arms and welcome him. Listen, we have to be kind to each other. Receive him. Let's keep going. Verse 4. Here's another reason to accept him. Verse 4. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? Boy, there's a good question. Now again, we're not talking about matters of faith. We're not talking about a brother who did something Bible said not to do, and so we don't say nothing. No, we're going to say plenty to him. This is about a matter of opinion. The Bible hasn't expressly said don't do it, hasn't expressly said do it. God has given us the freedom to have an opinion about it. That's what we're talking about here. Now look what he says. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Here's what's going on. Service is over. And I stop and go into Walmart.
Supercenter Walmart. And I go into the frozen food. And the guy is putting food up there. Except he ain't got none. But anyway, we'll pretend he's got some. And he's stocking the freezer with food. So I walk up. I said, what are you doing? He said, I work in the frozen food. I said, you don't work in the frozen food no more. Get out of here. I said, you going to the meat department. He stands there and looks at me. I said, get out of the frozen food. Go to the meat department. I walk over to the meat department. I said, what are you doing? He said, I work in the meat department. So I tell this other guy, no, you don't. You go over there working clothes now, ladies' clothes. But I don't work in, you work there now. Get over there. So I go to ladies' clothes. There's a lady sitting there working on ladies' clothes. I said, what are you doing? She said, this is my department. I said, ain't your department no more. I said, you take yourself back in automotive now. Are you listening? If I walked into Walmart and did that, do you know what they would do? They throw me out. Why would they throw me out? Because I'm not in charge there. Are you listening? People don't answer to me. People don't answer to you. If somebody's opinion is different than mine, they don't answer to me. They don't answer to you. Listen, people answer to God. Now listen to me. If the church is going to be at one, we got to accept each other. Even though you use a different translation than I do. Whatever it is, the opinion. If we're going to act as one, we've got to realize we are not the judge. We are servants of the judge. Amen. Let's go on. Paul's going to tell us another reason we need to accept each other, even though our opinions are different. Verses 5 through 9. If you read verses 5 through 9, you're going to come across one word at least seven times. It's the word Lord. It's the word Lord. Brethren, listen, I'm not the Lord. You not the Lord. Well, what does all that mean? Here's what that means. None of us have a right to play God with anybody else's opinion. That's what that means. Let me illustrate. Right here sits Brother Odell Morgan. Right there sits Brother Odell Morgan. And Brother Odell, look at verse, let's read verse 5 and 6. Look at verse 5 and 6. Let's get two of these verses in here and we'll go with that. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. They don't have to convince you. This is a matter of opinion. It's his opinion. Verse 6. The one who observes the day observes it to honor the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. What is going on here? Here's what's going on. Odell Morgan says, look, every Thursday morning, I'm going to take my Bible, his Bible. He says, I'm going to get in my car. And he said, I'm going to drive to Belle Isle. And he said, I'm going to find a real scenic place on Belle Isle. And he says, every Thursday morning, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to do this to honor God. And I'm going to meditate on God. Are you listening? That's his right to do. That's his privilege.
Listen, he's doing it. That's his way to honor God. Every Thursday morning he's going to do it. Now, what am I going to do? Am I going to come up behind him and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? Look, you can't study like that. You too tall. You'd be all cramped up in the car. Listen, it'd be better, and I'm going to tell him what'll be better. Listen, it's none of my business. It's none of my business. If he wants to do that, he's free to do that. Let me illustrate. Now, your wife told me this, okay? Your wife told me this. Cliff Russell teaches the adult Bible class here. When Cliff Russell studies at home, when he studies, Cliff gets up, he gets dressed, and he puts on a tie to study. Now, I haven't asked him, but I know why he does. He does it out of respect and reverence. And that's his way. Now, what am I going to... Listen, the man gets up and gets dressed and puts on a tie before he will sit down with the Word and study Word. Now, what am I going to... Who am I to come by and say, no! You'd be more comfortable if you just put on sweats and put a cap on backward and sit there and study. Listen to me. It's none of my business. It's none of my business. That's him. He does that. That's his way of showing honor to God. And it's an opinion. And he can have it. And it's fine to have. Let's keep going. Verses 10 through 12. Watch what Paul says. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Again, now you're passing judgment on him over his opinion. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to me. So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Brethren, listen to me very carefully. In matters of opinion, we are not to judge, we are going to be judged. Now, because of that, if Solomon Sims Jr. has an opinion about something that's different than mine, listen, I don't put him under a microscope and start seeing all what is he doing and all of this. No, look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. At the judgment, we will stand before God, not for you or before me. You good? Now, stay with me. Stay with me. We're going to make a transition here, but this transition is crucial to the chapter. If you read Romans 14, and if you only read verses 1 through 12, and you stopped, you could get the wrong conclusion about all this. If you just read those first 12 verses and didn't read the rest of it, you draw the wrong conclusion. Because if you just study those first 12 verses, you might conclude that none of us have a responsibility toward each other in matters of opinion or in degrees of spirituality, and that's not true. Because now, in the rest of this chapter, Paul is going to give some balance to this. And here's the balance. Brethren, we have a responsibility to each other. Did you hear what I just said? We have a responsibility to each other. And even in matters of opinion, and even in diverse spirituality, in stages of our spirituality, we have a responsibility, and the responsibility we have is to help each other remain faithful, though we don't agree on matters of opinion. Everybody here has a responsibility to help everybody else here to remain faithful. Now watch how Paul handles this. Verse 13. Therefore, pause, stop. Therefore, in the world of grammar, therefore is a bridge. What does a bridge do? It connects things. When Paul starts verse 13 with the word therefore, what Paul is saying is, now listen, I'm about to connect what I've just said with what I'm about to say. And now what I am about to say goes up and connects with what I've just said. Therefore, he's bridging the entire chapter together. Now watch what he says, verse 13, 14, and 15. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of your brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. Let me read that again. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. Verse 15, for if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you no longer walk in love by what you eat. But destroy the one for whom Christ died. Now here is what the man is saying. Paul is saying, listen, we have to be sensitive to each other. You got to be sensitive to the other guy's feelings. Now here, let's put the context and the background of this up front. What is all this eating and don't eat? In the ancient world, there were many different religions. Sometimes we think there was Christianity and Judaism and that was all. No. There were many, many different religions, and many of them were as heathen as could be. But almost all of the religions included animal sacrifices. But here's what happens. When you would bring your sacrifice and you bring the animal and the animal would be sacrificed, only a small portion of the animal would be consumed in the sacrifice. Well, now I got all this meat left. There's all this left. And so that meat would end up in the marketplace. That's a supermarket for us. All this meat would end up in the marketplace. So then a Christian would walk into the marketplace, a Christian with weak faith, a Christian whose faith hasn't developed to a level yet of others. And that weak Christian would look at the meat in the marketplace and would say to himself, I can't buy that. That's been sacrificed to a heathen God. Or that might have been sacrificed to a heathen. Why, if I buy that and take that home and cook it and eat it, then I'll be participating in that heathen sacrifice. And that's what he believed in his conscience, so he never bought it. But then a stronger faith Christian comes to the marketplace. He sees the meat. Listen, that sacrifice didn't have anything to do with me. And I'm going to buy this meat, and I'm going to take it home and fix it. And I'm not fixing it for any sacrifice. I'm going to fix it. We're going to eat it. And he can totally divorce from his mind what happened to that meat before. And in a clear conscience, he can take it, and he can eat that. Now I want you to listen real carefully to this. What that passage says, what Paul said, is that there are certain things in matters of opinion, there are certain things that are right. There is absolutely nothing wrong with them. They are right. But if doing what I know in my own heart is right, if doing that is going to cause a stumbling block for this weaker brother over here, then even though this is right, I'm not going to do that. I'm telling you, that's exactly what that man says. That's exactly what that man says. We have to be sensitive to each other's feelings. Now, I want you to look at this again. Look at verse 14. I know and I am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. In other words, the meat's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's fine. But it is unclean to anyone who thinks it's unclean. But the weak brother goes in there and says, listen, I can't do this. Then to him, it isn't clean. To him, it isn't right. Look at verse 15. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love by what you eat. Do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. Listen, don't stomp on your brother over a matter of opinion. He can't, you know what? Give me a plate of vegetables and I'll eat with him. Look at verse 19, 20, and 21. We're getting there, brethren, I promise. 19, 20, and 21. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be pursuing what makes peace with brethren. Verse 20. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink or wine or do anything that causes a brother to stumble. Here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, look, in matters of opinion, God has given us freedom to work. Bible doesn't say don't do it. Bible doesn't say to do it. It's this stuff here in the middle, and I got to make an opinion about it. Paul is saying, listen, God gives us freedom in these areas to make choices of opinion. But what Paul says is, listen, don't you tear up your brother's faith over a matter of opinion. You let it go. Listen to me. Don't you ever tear up the church over an opinion you have. Let me tell this real quick. Church split. I mean, they didn't tear it up, they tore it up. And you know what they split over? The color carpet to put in the auditorium. One group wanted one color, and another group wanted another color. And they tore it up. And the brother who told me about that, I said, well, that shouldn't have been an issue at all. I said, go right to the middle.
and over here put one color and tell people, this your color? Then sit yourself down right here and then come over here in the middle on this side and put the other color. Say, this is the color you like? Then sit yourself right there. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? We're going to tear up the church over what color carpet to get? You're not going to believe this, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. The church had a potluck, and a church was split over something that happened in that potluck. And what happened in that potluck, strike me, is that a sister made a dish and she used Cool Whip instead of real whipping cream. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody's going to hell over that if they don't repent. Listen. Listen, you say, well, I got a right. It's a matter of opinion. I got a right. Not if it's going to crush some weak brother, you don't. Verse 22 and 23. 2 minutes, we're out. Verse 22 and 23. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. For whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. And whatsoever does not proceed from faith is sin. The weak brother's conscience is violated if he buys the meat. Then he ought to leave the meat alone. Listen to me. Listen. Here's what he's saying. Don't force your opinion on somebody. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You need to write this sentence down. Just because you have an opinion doesn't mean you have to express it. Now, there are some folk, I don't care what the subject is and what the word is, they gonna tell you what they think. Well, this high handle is. And they say it like it means something. It's an opinion. And you know what I found? I have found that opinions are like noses. Everybody seems to have one of them. But it's an opinion. It's an opinion. Listen, it is crucial that the church act as one. That the church acts as one. Now listen, on matters of faith, we're going to stand together. We're going to stand together. And if you violate what this book clearly teaches, he and I are going to have a conversation with you. And everybody else in here is going to have a conversation with you. But in matters of faith, we will stand together. But in matters of opinion, we're going to accept our brother. And here's the sentence. Let us speak where the Bible speaks. Let us remain silent where the Bible is silent. And let us grant freedom to each other in matters of opinion. Getting the church to act as one. In matters of faith, if this book sets it forth, that's where we stand, and there is no opinion about that. This is what we're doing. But everything isn't over here or over here. A lot of it's in here. And in here is where we got to be kind, we got to accept each other, and we got to stop playing God. My opinion is my opinion. And it's okay if you don't agree with my opinion. and I'm not going to take my opinion and shove it down your throat because it's only my opinion. And if everybody does that, it'll be good. This morning, if you're not a New Testament Christian, we encourage you to be a New Testament Christian. This morning, if you're away from God, if you need to come back, we need you to do that. This morning, if you need to change your attitude about opinions and what you've been doing, you need to do that too. If you're here, if you need to respond, come right now as together we stand and as we sing.